If you're traveling on a freeway and all is going well, you probably won't notice much about the places you get on or off the freeway, unless the freeway interchanges are either out of date or in the process of being updated. Check and check for the Interstate 5 on and off ramps at Phoenix, Oregon, south of Medford. The Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT, began planning for a new interchange years ago, and after a great deal of engineering and community outreach, real physical work is now beginning. The final product of all the work will be a freeway interchange unlike many others and unlike any in Oregon at this moment. We have two guests with us from ODOT. Dick Lever is the project leader here in the studio with me. Welcome, Dick.
Thank you.
And in the studio as well, Mr. Gary Leeming back on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi,
Good
Gary.
Morning.
So who wants to start about what got going here? Generally, you don't build a new interchange unless the old one is obsolete. So how long has it been the case in Phoenix?
Well, I'll take a crack at that. So we started planning on this 10 years ago. And for those of you not familiar with Phoenix, it's at Exit 24. It's just south of Medford, as you said. One of the last original interchanges on I-5 in the Rogue Valley.
Dating back to when I-5 was actually
constructed. Right, in the early 1960s. And if you look at some of the early photos, or if you can remember back then, it was very rural country, absolutely nothing there except for, I think, one small gas station as an entrance into Phoenix. Since then, lots of growth in the Rogue Valley and Phoenix in particular. We have a truck stop there. We've got Home Depot, several interstate-related businesses in that area, including the shops at Exit 24. So basically, a lot of development has come in. And so it's time to update that interchange and its bridge. It's a simple two-lane structure. The deck has got holes in it. And anyway, we're trying to upgrade it. So 10 years ago, we formed several committees along with citizens from Phoenix and started going through that development process of what will that next generation interchange look like.
Is 10 years an unusual amount of time for a project to go on?
It's longer than usual. This was more complex, a lot more input from the public. We spent quite a bit of time developing the environmental assessment, so yes.
All right, so a lot of details that went into it. And the price tag is $72 million, is that what I said?
Exactly. That's the whole bundle with right-of-way and design and the whole bit. You know, we started in 2004 with these citizen teams. We had a citizens advisory committee and a project development team, and we really started from scratch on, what does that interchange, what will the interchange look like and how does it fit in with Phoenix? And for those that have been around recall, we went through a lot of these hoops and we started from scratch and developed alternatives with this committee. And we got to the point where we thought we had a pretty good plan. And then some of the businesses on Highway 99 in Phoenix, some of which were represented on the committee, didn't like it. And so we basically stopped everything, fell back, and came up with some new designs. And so that was one of the reasons why it took so long to come up with this plan.
I do remember there was a bit of an uproar about that, but we're talking about Highway 99, which is probably, two city blocks away from Interstate 5. But how is Highway 99 affected by this project?
Well, it feeds into the interchange area, and so it's also something that needs to be upgraded as well because of the accesses and the widths, and it's a two-lane facility. We need to make a turn lane at some point on 99 to go to the interchange because there's some significant congestion and safety issues throughout the whole project, and that was the overriding problem, if you will, with the federally required environmental study. The environmental assessment was to solve the congestion and safety problems at the interchange and next to it on Highway 99.
Is that unusual to have the federal government come in and say this you need to do this?
No, anytime you use federal funds, and obviously I-5 is a federal facility, you have that federal nexus, and they own the interstate system. We just manage it for them, and so they are kind of behind us and sometimes in front of us, looking at the facilities and giving us guidance on what should be done.
We're talking about the Phoenix Interchange, which will be an interchange unlike any other in the state of Oregon. We'll get into the details of how so. We're talking to Gary Leeming and Dick Lever from the Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Dick Lever, is it harder procedurally to replace an interchange than just open a new one?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because, you know, when you've already got traffic, you've got roads, you've got everything there, and an interchange tends to draw businesses. So the older interchange, as Gary said, years ago, there was nothing there. Now there's a lot of businesses around that. So when you replace it, you have to deal with that. So as you're building that new one, you not only have to, you know, maintain accesses to all existing businesses and residences that are in that area. At the same time, you've got to, you know, rebuild roads, build new bridges and everything. It can be very difficult, very complex. And this one is a challenge.
Folks who lived in the area for a long time will recognize some of the challenges that exist there. For example, you have North Phoenix Road, which used to come off of Fern Valley Road, the one that crosses the freeway, pretty close to the interchange. That axe has been shoved east now by a couple of city blocks, it seems like, to provide some more controlled access for what has grown up along North Phoenix Road, Home Depot and Lazy Boy, for example. But you had to kind of do, and was that ODOT or was that City of Phoenix or County? I mean, was that all ODOT work that made that change to North Phoenix Road already?
That was basically phase one. I mean, it was so broken that we had to go in there, I think, in 01 or 02 and do some simple fixes, such as move those road intersections farther away from the on and off ramps. In this sense, it would be Lumen Road and North Phoenix Road. And then we put, the barrier so that there could be no left turning movements from westbound Fern Valley Road into the truck stop. And so I can't remember there. I think there were a few other improvements, but that was mostly the reason was to bring that that safety feature to it.
All right. So what happens now? I mean, there has been some activity up to this point, and you mentioned having to change some of the access to Fern Valley Road. Now, there have been some changes that people have noticed lately, closing of gas station, destruction of, boy, what was that building? It was, in the time I've lived in the Rogue Valley, it was a grocery store, Rogue Community College, and a church most recently, I think.
That's correct. It was a church most recently.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So why are those buildings coming out? And I noticed there's also been already some work. I guess a couple of homes are coming off on Fern Valley Road, too?
Yeah, there's a couple homes. Actually, I think there was two homes that are being removed. That area we refer to as a triangle, that's actually being redeveloped. So what's happened
by private investors?
By private investors. So, and what you'll see now is there's a new coffee shop that's going in there right now. That just happened to be, you know, something that was going on with, you know, in conjunction or concurrently with our project.
Yeah, the Dutch Brothers is moving from exit 24, shops at exit 24 to the triangle, and then the 76 station, which used to be on the corner of Fern Valley and 99, is making the jump across the street to the triangle property. And the reason they're affected is because we've got a dual right turn lane from Fern Valley Road onto northbound 99.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was actually in that convenience store a bunch of times on Sunday bike rides, and they mentioned they were closing a while ago and not opening again until June. Speaking of bike rides, Stephen Medford dropped off a question. He wants to know what's being done to make bike access easier at that Phoenix I-5 interchange.
Well, the new interchange actually will have bike lanes that will go over the interstate, so it'll be much easier to go from the east to the west side. There'll still be good access to the Bear Creek, to the Greenway. There will be on 99, there will be bike lanes on 99 that there aren't now. So there will be considerable improvements in that area. And one of the things that Gary talked about later when things did kind of blow up, one of those things was 99 was going to be widened considerably to handle the bike lanes and new widened lanes and all that. But the concession was when we kind of stepped back and looked at that again, we actually narrowed that back down to have less impact on the businesses there. So we have little narrower lanes, little narrower bike paths in there, but bikes are going to be accommodated throughout the whole part of the project.
Well, not only bikes, but also pedestrians as well. And during construction, we have to replace the aging Bear Creek structure, Bear Creek Bridge, that goes over the greenway. And so we're making efforts to keep the greenway open during construction. We're going to bring people up to the top and cross them over. We'll have some flagging there, and we'll also have a rapid flashing beacon for folks when they cross the road. They can hit that and cross. So yes, there's not only improvements for vehicular traffic, but also for bikes and peds throughout the project as well.
Replacing this interchange sounds a lot like trying to patch a hole in a plasterboard wall, where you try to cut out the bad section and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because it sounds like you tried to focus on the freeway and Fern Valley Road, and beyond that it kept going farther and farther out. Is that a fair characterization?
It is, yeah. That's really hard to avoid, because anytime you change one thing, it's like a domino effect. One thing you'll see, especially on the east side, is completely new road alignments. You know, North Phoenix will be relocated. Fern Valley, in essence, as far as the name goes, away on the west side, and North Phoenix will now be the road that comes all the way into 99. And Fern Valley on the east side will actually be cul-de-sac as it approaches what is going to be the new Fern Valley, interchange.
Yeah, anytime you try to retrofit an existing interchange, there's going to be impacts to the neighboring properties and the businesses. It's just a given. You cannot be hands-off on a lot of this stuff. I mean, as much as people would want us to not have those effects, especially for the 2.5 years of construction, there's going to be impacts to businesses. There's going to be impacts to ramps. We have a plan of having some temporary on and off ramps. The idea is to get as much done or allow the contractor the biggest area to work in without interfering with traffic. And so that's a benefit to not only the contractor, but also for the travelers as well. So, as Dick noted, with this interchange in Phoenix, you've got so many businesses so close to the interchange area, the shops at Exit 24, the Home Depot, the truck stop. You've got Bear Lake Estates, which is a senior living facility for those over 55. Lots of things just right near the ramps, and that helped drive actually the interchange design that we came up with. Because we had a less impact on property, which meant fewer right-of-way dollars spent, fewer impacts to those businesses, i.e., we're not buying businesses out, but yet it still works pretty much like it does today when it's all said and done.
We are talking about the replacement of the Interstate 5 interchange at Phoenix, Oregon, south of Medford, and some of the unique issues that have arisen with it and the unique design that emerges from it as well, with Gary Leeming and Dick Lever from ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation. You can join us on the exchange. Our number is 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. That discussion we just had, though, about all the things that have built up around the interchange raises a basic jurisdictional question, which is how much input does ODOT have when local communities, either Jackson County or the city of Phoenix, are deciding, oh, yeah, we're going to get this will allow this to be built. We're going to approve this project, thereby creating a great deal more traffic in the area that you have to ultimately have responsibility for managing.
Well, one of the things that's happened here, and it's one of the policies now that ODOT has, is we develop interchange area management plans. I think of that as it's an insurance policy. And there is one for Fern Valley. And we spent quite a bit of time on that. And what that does is that looks at all the traffic, and it looks at the potential traffic with development, and then it actually sets some controls for that. And that has happened in the Phoenix area. So when the city of Phoenix develops the developable property out there, there's a guide that they will use as to the type of businesses that can go in there based on, the traffic volumes that they will create.
So that will affect an ultimate, it sounds like the actual zoning areas designations will change based on what the ODOT plan is.
It has somewhat, yeah. But that was a joint venture with ODOT and the city, county, and everybody that was, that's affected by that.
Yeah. The reason for that is interchange properties are very attractive. Mm-hmm. And so if you build a brand new interchange and have no strings attached, if you will, or controls, bang, you've got all kinds of development there, and all of a sudden your $100 million investment is now broken. And so for the citizens of Oregon, who pay their taxes, wow, that's a big chunk. So that's the reason for the controls. And then also, just as a corollary to that, is whenever there's a development commercial development along a state highway, we have a development review team, basically, that looks at that those planning plans, those construction plans, and there's a traffic study done as far as impacts, and then many times we have the ability to assess development fees as far as what those traffic impacts will be. Case in point would be the Northgate development near the Rogue Valley Mall. Mm-hmm. We were able to leverage about $500,000 in traffic improvements because of the impact that facility will have on the neighboring streets and highways.
Wow. So you do get a chance to say, look, you know, this is going to happen because you're putting this in, so how about this to help
right.
us do that?
Exactly.
So let us talk about the interchange itself, the Fern Valley Interchange in Phoenix, because this style of interchange is not even known in the state of Oregon at this point. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, the Diverging Diamond is new.
Diverging Diamond?
Diverging Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
It was developed over in Europe. And like I said, the first one was actually constructed in Missouri. And Missouri has several of them now, and there's either there's a couple or one or two in Utah. Actually, there's quite a few states that are now looking at them, numbers in the 20s. So it's a very popular interchange. It handles traffic flow very well.
As I look at the Fern Valley Interchange as planned versus what's there now, now you get off the freeway. If you want to make a left turn, you're stopped at a light. Just crossing the freeway, you come across the bridge, you're stopped at a light again, potentially. With this Diverging Diamond, you actually get to make that left turn and not get stopped until potentially you're on the other side of the freeway. So what you really have happening is over that bridge, the traffic lanes are swapped, aren't they?
Yeah, the traffic lanes are swapped. So you essentially are driving on the opposite side of the road when you go across the bridge. Though it won't be that obvious to people because where you actually cross over is at an intersection with a signal. And it's set up with the angles and such that it'll just appear that you're going onto another street. So they work fairly well. Federal Highway has done a pretty good study of them, and they found that there were very, very few problems with them, and people usually adapt to them very readily.
Is there any visual screening or explanatory signs that need to be put out there to make sure that people don't freak out when they notice that there is traffic moving in the other direction on their right rather than their left?
The signing is very important, and yeah, there will be definitely signing that will let people know that, you know, these types of things are going to happen. But it's pretty natural, the feeling of it. You really don't feel like you're going down the wrong side of a street.
That's a good point.
Right. There'll be some preparatory signing for that. But also, you know, it'll be signed and there'll be legends so that it'll seem like you're on a one-way street, basically. It is different. We visited Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, where they opened the first one. I think it was in 2010. And our team went out there and met with Missouri officials on how they did theirs. And theirs was a retrofit. From an existing bridge, and it is a little strange, different, you know, the first or second time that you drive it. But after a while, it's very intuitive to make this crossing. And the reason for that is there's only two signal phases, basically, so you get through the interchange faster, and it's also safer because you don't have those left-turning movements where you have to wait for oncoming cars, so you don't have those T-bone potentials. Your conflict points, if you will, are significantly reduced with a Diverging Diamond interchange. The other reason for the Diverging Diamond at this place was when we were in development of this project, we were looking at another single-point urban interchange similar to what we have at South Medford, and the Phoenix teams did not like that design. They thought it was too Medford-ish, if you will. So about the same time, we had begun the Oregon Bridge Delivery Program, and one of the consultants was looking at the Diverging Diamond for Exit 14 here in Ashland. If we happened to replace that whole bridge, we were looking at a Diverging Diamond at Exit 14. So basically, we stole it, we copied it, presented it to the teams there, and they loved it because it was unique, it was different, it had less impact. As I mentioned, on right-of-way, and you were able to get through the interchange area much quicker without the impacts to the neighboring businesses.
Does it change the cost of the project very much?
Not significantly, no. Another thing to mention, too, is regarding driving that, we've created a video that's out on our website. So if people want to know what it's like to drive through that, they can go out on the website and look at that video. And that was one of the purposes of that, was to give people sort of a look at that before, so they'd have an idea of what they're going to be up against when they go in there.
Is it a real world video or is it a computer mock-up?
No, it's a real world video. It's modeled specifically to Phoenix. It looks like Phoenix. It has the triangle property in it. You can just Google Fern Valley Interchange video, or go to the Fern Valley Interchange website, which is on the Oregon.gov/ODOT.
We'll make sure we link to that video on our Facebook page before the day is out. It's been a long time coming on this. I mean, this process looked like it got fairly heated at times, Dick Lever. Did it, in fact?
It did. Yeah, there was, because of the business impacts and things like that, there were a lot of issues. Even though the final product minimized the impact on businesses and right away, I mean, there's still been. As you mentioned before, there are several homes that had to be moved. There are some impacts to people. And anytime you do that, there's going to be people that are going to be unhappy. There's no way to really avoid it. I think we did a very good job at trying to minimize all of those.
So when does the real heavy construction start?
The heavy construction, right away, they're on site. They're starting to do work. Actually, it would have started if we hadn't had that heavy rain about a week or so ago. They were going to be starting on some of the dirt work, but that stopped them a little bit.
Rain on the way, so it'll probably slow it down a little further. All right, work getting started on the Fern Valley Interchange on Interstate 5 at Phoenix, Oregon, exit 24. I want to thank Dick Lever and Gary Leeming from ODOT for joining us once again. We'll take a short break. When we come back, you'll hear Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac. Please stay tuned to the Jefferson Exchange.